Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to talk about the analysis of factors controlling soil organic matter dynamics in long-term field experiments in Europe, a model intercomparison study. This is an outcome from one of the EU-funded projects called Smart Soil, where we have the information from several long-term experiments in Europe, and we want to know how these sites, their models are performing, and what we can learn from this thing. So we applied models of several complexity, different complexity, to capture the dynamics of carbon dynamics in these sites. So what is the rationale behind this study? We know that management practice impacts soil organic carbon storage, but quantification estimates vary across studies for a variety of reasons, including lack of reliable long-term data. So we have very few long-term experiments exist, so we need to learn from that data. There is a scientific and practical consensus that simulation models will integral to those methods, and the models may not have been developed and tested against all the potential management options. Even though there are several models exist so far, all the models are not tested enough to all the management practices really practice. So it's one of the ideas to have different models performing better in certain management practice, what needs to be improved. That's what we want to know. And also, the most importantly, a range of soil organic carbon models exist which simulate the effect of different management practices. But the question is, are they mature enough to capture satisfactorily simulate the regulatory management conditions, like fertilizer and manure application and tillage? Because many models claim that they are going to simulate, but are the processor mature enough to capture the behavior of a system? That's the question. So the objective is to, main objectives were to explore how soil organic models differ in their simulating the effect of management practice on long-term carbon dynamics, and also evaluate different process descriptions in different models, how different models are different, and how that translates into their outputs, how process descriptions are linked to the outcomes, and identify the factors in soil organic carbon dynamics. So we have several long-term experimental data as a part of Smart Soil. It is collected. In this study, we have used four sites, three from Italy and one from Sweden. And we have several sites still available, which we are going to do. This work is ongoing. So some of the sites we are going to, Rotham study is the next, and several other sites we are going to use these models. This is an experimental sites, and where they are located and what are the cropping systems. In Padova, that's in Italy, and winter wheat is a crop rotation. And we have two treatments, straw incorporation in the soil with no fertilizer, and straw incorporated into the soil plus mineral fertilizer. There are two treatments there, and also original long-term soil experiment, where we have three treatments. In these three treatments, we have the whole long-term experiment is of four-year crop rotation. It's much more complex. Four-year crop rotation with three treatments, which run from 1973 to 2009. Again, we have another long-term experiment from Pisa, which is looking at tillage and conventional tillage and no-tillage practice, which is available from 1990 to 2011. And also lastly, the Foggi, which is also a site from Italy, where durum wheat is grown from 1979 to 2011. And there are two treatments which we have selected. So all these treatments which we have selected fall into three categories. One is differences in fertilizer application, what are the management practice, and also crop residue incorporation management, and tillage intensity. So what we are trying to look at using different models is that how different models are performing in all these three categories. That's what our objective. So what are the models we have selected? At this point in this study, we have already used daily days model and DNDC model, and we have two models already used, but I haven't have a data to show up here. But as of now, I'm presenting data from two models outcomes. So why we have selected these two models at this point? Because they are conceptually different from one another. So we want to know which concept, which process description is really working better in simulating this management practice. So just want to show you how the carbon flows were described in a daily descent model. Conceptually, there are three carbon pools. One is readily decomposable carbon, slow carbon, and passive carbon, which is represented with 9 state variables. That means the carbon goes into one pool to the another. Once it decomposes, it goes in the form of the CO2 or goes into the second compartment. So there are mainly 3 compartments. We call it as 3 pools. These are conceptual pools, which are represented in 9 state variables. So the carbon flows from one to another. When the surface litter is added to the soil, it is partitioned into 2. One is structural carbon and metabolic carbon. This is basically done by the decomposability of the litter that we define in the model. How much part of this one is highly decomposable, how much is not. So that, based on that, it is categorized into 2 compartments and will add to that. And then it will be decomposed over a period of time, and then it will be added to the microbial pool. Is it working? So this is microbial pool. And slow carbon and also the passive carbon. Passive carbon is more resistant carbon. It decomposes for, I think, several centuries it takes to decompose in overall. So this structure is a little bit different from DNDC. Even though they have same similar 3 conceptual pools, the pools distribution is a little bit different here. The resistant residual pools are, there are 3 categories here, very labile, labile, and resistant. This will make a huge difference in the way it decomposes the soil carbon. And then microbial pools, again, humus pools, again, labile and resistant, and again, passive carbon pool, which is highly resistant. Once the part of the carbon goes here, it's almost settled there. It won't do anything. That's what we call it as a resistant carbon, which is in the soil. So these 2 models conceptually different. That's why I would like to show how they are performing in the fertilizer management in the Orgia site long-term experiment with 2 different treatments, no fertilizer crop residue removal. This is a 36 years crop yields, which I presented in the box plot. That means each plot, box plot, represents the range of the crop compared with the observed and model values. And DNDC, you can see it's overestimating, and the variability is much more higher, whereas Descent is able to capture the average behavior, but the variability is less, that it responds to the crop yields with the higher and lower ends are very low. That's understandable, because in compared to the DNDC, the crop growth is much more simply described in Descent model. So that's why this response is expected. So, but if we go to this is where we have calibrated the model. We have 3 treatments. One is no fertilizer application, no addition of any nitrogen source. Then all the 2 models really struggle to simulate this, because the only source of nitrogen is by nitrogen fixation. So there's no process description in these models which then allow them to fix the nitrogen. So we need to define that, how much nitrogen is fixed in each site, well before really we are applying in that site. This is one of the limitations of these models, because there is no process description of nitrogen fixation. So that's why these models will struggle. If there is any nitrogen limitation in the system, these models are likely to underestimate the yields and also the crop growth. Whereas the models perform better because we have calibrated here, we have to input how much is the nitrogen fixation in those sites, then they perform better because we are supplying enough nitrogen. Whereas in other treatments where they have nitrogen application here, nitrogen application with crop residues, where the model responds to the circuit, but the variability is too high. So we look at the carbon dynamics in the Orgia site. It is from last 36 years. We look at, even though we have a long-term experiments exist in many places, the limitation is the number of samples. We have 36 years long-term experiments with only 6 samples. That means they have taken the observations only at 6 times in 36 years. This is one of the limitations in applying these models across the different long-term experiments. So if I show this, the DNDC and DSENT are able to capture the behavior, but they fail to capture the two points here. But at this point, I suspect these points, in fact, because there is no change in the management practice. There's no external change, but the carbon suddenly reduced and again picked up after a few years. This anomaly, this is not really explained well by any of the data we got. So I can't blame really the models, but actually I want to learn what really happened here. This is not clear for us, so we treat this as an anomaly and leave it at this point. So if I just take out these two points and the model is able to capture, these two models are able to capture the behavior. So then it comes to a point of quality control. The sampling, frequent sampling, and quality control. These are the two important things we need for the long-term experience at this point so that we can apply the models a better way. So in all the treatments, models are able to capture the interannual variability. Overall, they are able to capture the trends. But we have some anomalies in the data at this point. That's what we suspect. Because why I'm saying in data, we can force the model to behave exactly like this. It's not difficult because we can parameterize the models, we can calibrate it, as long as we know that this behavior is appropriate. So at this point, we don't believe that. So crop residue management, this is actually the crop yields from Forja site. We have several years of data. The models underestimated the yields in one of the treatments, and again, consistently underestimated in both treatments. Actually, this translated into soil carbon, because once we underestimate the crop yields, that means crop biomass, the crop residues that are going into the soil, we are likely to be underestimated. That's why this is what actually happening, because we define in the model how much fraction of crop residues that goes into the soil, because if we have less biomass in the crop, that automatically the fraction that goes into the soil will go down. That translates into underestimation of soil carbon. So we need to do multi-criterial analysis to learn this. So in both models, actually, they fail to capture the behavior, especially when we incorporate the crop residues. So tillage management, this is a PISA site where they have long-term data. Both models are really good in capturing the tillage management practice, tillage and no-tillage. It's not really a surprise to me because it's so... there is no specific process that is defined in both the models. It is simply controlled by a factor. The idea behind that is that both models assume that once there is a tillage, the soil because of the disaggregation of the soil organic carbon decomposes faster. So how much faster is simply by a factor. The factor is calibrated by several long-term experiments. So that's why this is easily described in these models, and also that he's able to capture the behavior of his system. So this is the yields, again, in those sites. So if I apply the statistical analysis on this, looking at the RMSE, root mean square error, and normalized root mean square error, and deviation, and also the model efficiencies, the model is performing well in terms of tillage, capturing the tillage, whereas they failed again. Especially both the models are not well described in burning of crop residues, incorporation of crop residues into the soil. In this, actually, DNDC is more worse than DSENT, so in its performance. So in conclusion, among all the simulated management practices, models tend to capture the tillage impact on soil SOC changes well. In general, both models simulated grain yields well if there is no N limitation in the system. Both models underestimated yields if there is no external mineral and organic inputs. This might be due to the lack of defined processes in the models related to N fixation. This is an important point. All the tested models rely on parameterization of N fixation. So we need to define the process. If we want to apply to the unknown place, if we know already what actually going on, then there is no need for applying the model. So this will limit the application of these models. So that goes to the next point. The number of parameters required to run the models under these conditions may restrict their usefulness. This is an important point. If we completely rely on the parameterization, we can't use these models because we need to get too much information from that particular site, then there's no need to apply the model. We we can learn from experiments. Both models need further development for accurately simulating impact of management practice, like receptive management, since this practice shows poorest fit with observed yields and soil carbon dynamics for both models. Thank you very much. Hope I speak to the time. I showed you is in the 1980s. They have samples, but they haven't stored the samples. So we can't go back and check it. This is the problem with, that's what actually we need to discuss with the long-term experiment, people managing the long-term experiment. Are they really storing the data? Are they storing the soil cores? If they're storing the soil cores, it will be useful. If you find this type of anomalies, we can go back and check. But these data is not available. That's why we have no information on that. We don't know whether we should believe it, because I personally don't believe it, because there is no specific thing that changed in the site so that there is a decline in the soil organic carbon and again increase. That will not explain well.